Let's look at a passage of scripture from 1 Timothy just to get us started here this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want to start in verse 13. Paul writes and says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the scriptures today and the revelation of who you are given to us in the Word of God. May our eyes see truth today, Father. May our hearts embrace it, and may we go from here to live it for your glory. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. We're looking at the Word of the Lord. We're opening our Bibles in order to understand some things about God. Seems to be that love seems to be the theme of the morning this morning, the message and things that have been going on. And, you know, we read an interesting scripture in John chapter 15, verse 9 this past Wednesday night. It's one of those verses that just blows your mind when you really stop to think about what it says. The scripture says Jesus is teaching there and he says, just as the Father has loved me, so I love you, abide in my love. And just think about that for just a moment, what that passage of Scripture, what that verse of Scripture says. As the Father loves me. Now, how many of you know the Father loves the Son completely, perfectly, totally? God loves His Son, Jesus. And Jesus says, in the same way that God the Father loves me, I love you. Sometimes we question the love of God. We're not sure of the love of God. And all kinds of reasons enter into that. And we struggle with it, with the fact that God loves us. But Jesus assures us that God does love us. And Jesus says, I love you just as the Father loves me. And the message to all of us this morning is that God really does love us. And God wants us to know Him. So we open the scriptures this morning to find out what God says about himself, because the Bible, we found out, is God's autobiography. It's his own revelation to us through the scriptures by the coming of his Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. All of these things are instruments through which God speaks to us. But God wants to reveal himself to us. God wants us to know him. Sometimes we struggle with that concept. And the truth of the matter is, God is infinite. We're finite. There's a lot of things we're never going to understand until we get to glory. We see through a glass darkly. But look, our journey through this lifetime should be a journey of constant growth in the knowledge of the Lord, love for God, faith in God, and all of these things should be always growing in our lives. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel tells us that God reveals the secret things. God reveals secret things. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is teaching parables in the fourth chapter of Mark's gospel. And the disciples aren't understanding. The people that are around, they're not understanding. And Jesus pulls them aside and he says, I'm going to explain these parables to you. And he says, the reason I'm going to do this is because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He says, God wants you to know the secret things of the kingdom. God wants you to know who he is and how he operates in your life. And so we open our Bibles this morning, and I understand that a lot of things we're sharing with you, we're doing a very basic study on the attributes of God, the nature and the character of God. And I understand that for probably all of us, there's nothing really new here. But I understand also that we need to be constantly reminded of these things. Peter would say in I think it's 2 Peter 1 or 1 Peter. What's in Peter? Read Peter. Find it. Peter says, as long as I remain in this earthly dwelling, I consider it right to stir you up by way of reminder. He says, I want to remind you constantly. Really, that's my job as a preacher. My job, Sunday after Sunday, is to remind you God loves you. God's working in your life. God hasn't forgotten you. And God is with you. And God can take care of whatever you're going through. You just write that down. Just read it to yourself every week. And that's the message every week. We do it in different ways, but that's essentially the message. And the reason that we have to do this over and over and over again is because you and I know that there is an enemy out there that berates our mind day in and day out with negativity, with doubts, with worries, with fears, with confusion, with all kinds of things. And he tells us that God doesn't care, and he tells us God doesn't love us, and he tells us that God has forgotten about us, and that we're insignificant, and we don't have any value, and all of these things. And we're hearing this stuff constantly, and it's why we need to be constantly reminded of the simple and basic truths of the Word of God, that God loves us, that God does care about us. Now, last week, and I'm just going to go back and repeat some of the things that we shared with you last week. You can consider this part B of last week's message if you want to. But I want to talk about the similar attributes that we talked about in the Lord last week. For example, the first thing we said was that God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent. Or that we can say it this way, God is almighty. There is nothing too difficult for God. Nothing impossible for God. That means there's nothing in your life that He can't help you overcome. There's no sin in your life that He cannot forgive. There's no addiction in your life that He cannot break. No disease that He cannot heal. No provision that He cannot make. No soul that cannot be saved. God can do anything. God is the Almighty God. The Bible tells us that God raises the dead. Brother and sister, if God has the power to raise the dead, God has the power to fix any problem you and I have got. And God can do it. If we trust the Lord and if we believe in God, God makes a way where often that doesn't look like there is any way, any possibility. And God makes a way. You remember the story of Moses coming to the border of the Red Sea, leading the children of Israel out. And all of a sudden, he's got a sea in front of him. And then he's got an army behind him. And he doesn't have anywhere to go. He has no place to turn. And God speaks to him, and he speaks to Israel through him. And he says, fear not, stand still. See the salvation of God. Now, turn, raise your staff. When the sea parts, walk through it. Now listen, that's going to take a little bit of faith to believe when he says, when the sea parts, walk through it. What do you mean, when the sea parts? I've never heard of that before. Is this even possible? And yet he had the faith to do what God said to do, and the children of Israel walked through on dry land. God has the ability, brother and sister, to listen. We don't always know what God's going to do or even how God's going to do it. And really, did you know what? The how is irrelevant where you and I are concerned. You and I don't know how. We don't have to know how. A lot of times we want to know how. A lot of times it's none of our business how. Our business is just to believe and obey. Just do what God says to do. Walk through the Red Sea when it walls up on either side. Check, I've got it. See? And God is able to do immeasurable, far beyond anything that we could ask or think in our lives. Years ago, well, a promise that I made to my children, when made it to myself when they were little, I promised my kids I was going to see to it that they had a college education and that they had a good start in life. We didn't buy a lot of junk for our kids. We didn't buy cars for them and all stuff. They can buy that stuff themselves when they get a good job. But I'm going to see to it that they have a college education and have a good start in life. And so, Sean comes along and it's time for him to go to college, and we managed to work it out with Lynchburg College so he could go over to LC, and he got some scholarships and things worked out. And then all of a sudden, and I'm thinking, you know, this is expensive. This is real expensive. And Ben's only 3 years behind. That means there's going to be some overlap between Sean and Ben. And we're squeaking through with Sean. How are we going to get Ben in school? And while we're wondering about how we're going to get Ben in school behind Sean, Becky steps up and says, I believe God wants me to go to college. I'm thinking, you're kidding me. Three college students in one household, how in the world do you pay for it? How is none of our business. That's God's business. Our business is to listen to the Lord and do what He says to do and trust that what He tells us He's going to do, He's going to accomplish it in our lives. Our responsibility is just to believe God. God can do the impossible. I love the story in 2 Kings chapter 4. In 2 Kings 4, the Assyrians have invaded Israel and they've surrounded the city of Samaria and they have cut it off from everything outside. And the Israelites are on the inside and they have no resources, they have no food or water, they have nothing to live. They've actually resorted to killing their children to eat them in order to survive. They are just as far down as you can imagine being. And God sends a word to a prophet. And he says to the prophet, he says, tell the king, tomorrow at this time, there will be food in abundance. The Bible says there's an official, one of the king's officers, he's standing there and he's leaning on the table and he says, ain't no way in the world that could possibly happen. All he can see is the lack that's in front of him and the desperation of the people that are around him. And he has no faith whatsoever that anything else is going to change. The prophet looks at this man and he says, you're going to see it with your own eyes, but you're not going to partake of it. What he didn't know. See, listen, guys, what we don't know a lot of times is everything and unimportant. What he didn't know is that there were four lepers on the outside of the city in their own desperation. They're at the point of death. They know they've got nothing to lose. They're talking over among themselves and they say, look, if we just sit here, we're going to die. Let's go over to the enemy's camp. Maybe they'll take us prisoners and give us something to eat. At least we'll have something to eat. The worst thing that could happen is we go over there and they kill us. But if we stay here, we're going to die anyway. So let's go over there and see what happens. What they didn't know was God had already sent an ambush in the heavenlies to the army of the Assyrians. And as that army is out there surrounding the city, God sends the sound of a mighty army toward them. And the entire Syrian army, in panic, abandons everything that they've got out there. And they run off, leaving everything. The food, the clothes, the money, the animals, everything. These four lepers come out there and they think they've gone to heaven. They find all of this stuff everywhere around. They're eating, they're collecting, they're getting new clothes, they're getting all this stuff. All of a sudden they start feeling guilty. And they remember the people back in the city. You know, we really ought to go tell them about what's happened out here. And so they go back to the city and they report it to the king, and the king says, I can't believe it. And so they send out people to check, and sure enough, it's just like the leper said, all the stalls and everything they need is laying outside, and God has provided it, and they had no idea how, but God had provided it. That official that was leaning on the king's table, he's standing by the gate of the city when the people inside the city get the word about the supply that's on the outside. You can imagine the stampede that took place to get to that supply. That official, he saw it, but in the stampede, he was trampled to death. And true to the word of the prophet, he saw it, but he did not partake of what God had provided. A lot of times, brother and sister, we don't partake of what God has provided because we doubt the ability of God to provide. See, we need to believe what God can do. And God is omnipotent. There is nothing God can do. We could go on with story after story after story of what God can do. But God is awesome. And God is good, we found out last week. Oh, taste and see that God is good, the psalmist tells us. God does good to all who seek Him and to all who trust in Him. The scriptures tell us that God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7 and 9 says that God, the faithful God. And many scriptures tell us about the faithfulness of the Lord. Numbers 23:9 says this, God is not a man that He should lie. Paul tells us in his writing to Titus, tells us just plainly and bluntly, God cannot lie. God is faithful. God will do what He says He will do. We're in the process of planning a wedding. One of the things that we wrestle with and we struggle with in the planning of the wedding is, how many people do you invite to a wedding? because we've got a limited venue and we want to be sure we get people to come to the wedding. But you know what? Our society is such today that you can invite 100 people, you can invite 200-300 people, and they might all say, yeah, we'll come to the wedding, we'll be at the wedding. But when the wedding day shows up, about half of them decide to go do something else, and we've spent money for 300 people and only 150 show up, and we've wasted all this money. Why? Because people can't be trusted. That verse is very telling in Numbers where it says, God is not a man that he should lie. It's very telling, isn't it? Because human beings have a tendency not to tell the truth. But God's not a man that he should lie. God always tells the truth. Look over at 1 Kings chapter 8. The stories in the Old Testament and the stories in Samuel and Kings are great revelations of the faithfulness of the Lord and the goodness of God. In 1 Kings chapter 8, this is Solomon's prayer of dedication after they have built the temple. David wanted to build it. God said, no, your son will build it. You'll have an heir on the throne. He'll build my temple. Solomon is that son. He builds the temple. He prays this prayer of dedication. Afterward, he says this. Verse 22, then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant. That word covenant means promise. It means promise. He said, God, you keep your promises. You keep your word. Keeping covenant and showing loving kindness to your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant, my father David, that which you have promised him indeed. Look at this. Look at the end of verse 24. What you have spoken with your mouth and have fulfilled with your hand as it is this day. Brother and sister, hear me. What God speaks with his mouth, he fulfills with his hands. And what God speaks into your heart, he will fulfill in your life. God is not a man that he should lie. And when he tells you he's going to do something, you can count on God doing it. And oh, by the way, God does still speak. How many of y'all know that today? God still speaks to us. There are a lot of people that don't believe that today. There are a lot of preachers that don't believe that God still speaks to us today. And listen, I understand that. There's a lot of wacky stuff that happens within Christianity that's done in the name of the Lord. God told me to do something. And I tell you, I've known people that have left the church because they were raised in a home where they heard all the time, God told us to do this, God told us to do that. And so much of what they said God told them to do never panned out to be God. And people have walked away from the faith because of it. And I understand that God's not speaking to us in the sense that he's giving us new books for our Bible. I get that. But look, God still speaks to us day by day from the Scriptures. And he'll speak to us in our heart by his Holy Spirit if we listen to him. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, so that we can know what God wants for us. I've always wanted to ask one of those guys that says, God doesn't speak anymore. I've always wanted to ask one of those guys, if God doesn't speak anymore, who called you to the ministry? Maybe you're not called if God doesn't speak. God certainly speaks to us. God has things to say to us, share with us, directions he wants to give to us, a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. And God will speak and God will be faithful to fulfill those things if we will listen to him. God is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. You are God, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 90 and verse 2. He calls himself the great I am. The great I am. He is. He's not the I was. I am. He's eternal. Always is. Always will be. He is unchanging, we found from the Scriptures last week. No shadow of turning, James tells us in 1:17. Malachi tells us, I, the Lord, I do not change. God is not subject to mood swings. God is not, he doesn't change from one minute to the next. He's not good one day and bad the next, and all of these kinds of things. God is always the same. That's why we can trust in Him. It's why we can rely on Him. It's why we know what do we can expect from Him. Because He's faithful and He's good and He's the Almighty God. We found out from the Scriptures last week that God is omniscient. God knows everything. And we looked at several passages of Scripture to tell us that. And while that hopefully is sobering to us, that God knows everything, we're not keeping any secrets from God. We keep secrets from one another. Probably about 110% of us in here this morning have got a mask on. We're hiding. Well, you all got quiet, didn't you? We're all hiding something from each other. Heard a preacher say years ago, he was so thankful that he didn't walk around with a TV screen on the top of his head so we could see what was going on in his mind. I suspect most of us, if we'd be honest, would say the same thing. We're all hiding something. But we're not hiding anything from God. God knows everything. And listen, while that is sobering, it's also comforting and reassuring to know that God knows everything. God knows right where you are today. God knows exactly what you need today. And God is able. Listen, the Bible said God knows the end from the beginning. He knows and holds our tomorrows in His hands. He knows how to tell us to plan for tomorrow. Listen, God knows the plans that the enemy has for your life. That same chapter in 2 Kings, it's so awesome. You ought to read 2 Kings. Read 1 Kings first, though. And 1 and 2 Samuel before you read Kings. Just read the Old Testament. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the prophet's name was Elisha. And he's the one who prophesied that there will be an abundance. There's another time when the Assyrian king is plotting an attempt against the nation of Israel. He's going to attack the nation and going to capture and conquer the Israelites. And so he gathers his secret council together and they meet in a secret room and they discuss what they're going to do and how they're going to conquer the nation of Israel. And God knows what they're talking about. And God tells the prophet, who goes and tells the king of Israel what Assyria is going to try to do, so that when they attack, Israel is ready and the Assyrians can never beat them. This goes on two or three different times. The king gathers his council. They make their plans. They go out and it doesn't work out. They get together again. They make their plans. Israel is ready again. They're defeated again. After a few trips, the king comes back to his council and he says, "We must have a spy in our council. Somebody is telling on us." Governmental leaks, you know how they are. He says, somebody is telling on us. And one of his counselors said to him, "No, king, it's none of us, but there's a prophet in Israel. And what you whisper in your bedchamber, he pronounces publicly to the king of Israel." You see, God knew what Israel's enemies were up to. And He prepared Israel for every attack of the enemy. And brother, sister, God knows what your enemy is up to. God knows how the enemy is looking to trip you up and to take you down. And if we're listening, it's what we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We're praying, "Lord, lead me in such a way that I miss the traps and the tricks that the enemy has in store for my life." You know what they are. God, show me. Show me how I can miss how the devil is trying to take me out. And God says, "Pray this way, and I'll lead you not into temptation, but I will deliver you from evil." God knows how to deliver us from the evil one. God knows everything, brother and sister. He is omniscient. And God's not forgotten about you. God's not forgotten about you. I know sometimes God doesn't work in our life as fast as we want Him to. I get that. But God has not forgotten about you. And by the way, choir, I don't know if you've sung it yet, but you're going to sing one of the songs that you guys sing in this musical. When I first heard the song, it's one of those things that just takes your breath away when you get the revelation. There's a title of a song in this musical. It says this. We know that the Bible says God is love. And there's a title of a song in the musical that they're going to be doing this Christmas. It says this. It says, love has not forgotten us. Whew. Love has not forgotten us. Amen. And I know sometimes we can feel forgotten by God. And sometimes we can make some mistakes in life and we can feel pretty bad about ourselves and we can think God is done with us. But I promise you, God has not forgotten you. God has a plan for your life and He will accomplish and fulfill it if we'll keep believing and trusting in God and look to Him. And the reason that God is able to do that is because God is sovereign. He is the Almighty. We looked at that a little bit last week and we talked about the sovereignty of God and how important that is. That He answers to no one. He is above everyone. And we made it clear last week that the sovereignty of God doesn't mean that God is responsible for everything. That's not what sovereignty means. God in His sovereignty has established the way things will operate in this earth. And you and I have to make choices about things that we're going to do in this life. And the awesome thing, you know, it would be one thing if we said, well, God is sovereign, God is almighty, therefore everything that happens is the will of God and it's done by the hand of God. And that would be one thing. But to understand that God doesn't force His will on us, but rather gives us options and gives us a free will and gives us a right to choose. And think about this, that even though He gives us the right to choose, He is still able to orchestrate things in this world and in life to put pieces of things together and make puzzle pieces fit together so that the plan that He has for your life still finds a way of working itself out, even when we make wrong choices. The amazing thing about the sovereignty of God is that God is able to take evil people with evil intents and the things that they try to do to us, God is even able to take those things and turn them and use them for our good and for His glory. That is awesome. That is amazing. And that's the God that we know. That's the God that we love and the God that we serve. Think about Joseph, called of God, going to be a ruler, but instead of his life ascending, his life descends, first to a pit, then to a prison, but ultimately to a throne. And God was working in all of those situations and circumstances and with people that despised Him and hated Him and people that falsely accused Him and people who did forget about Him. And God put all of those pieces together and at the right time brought that man out of prison and put him on the throne in Egypt and fulfilled His promise in his life. How awesome is that? How awesome is our God? He is infinite in wisdom. He knows just how and when and if to step in, to step back, to do what needs to be done in our life at just the right season to make His plan come to pass. And then we talked last week and finally that God is omnipresent, that God is everywhere, all at once. The highest heavens, the Bible tells us, cannot contain Him. He is everywhere. And what that means to you and me is this, brother and sister. It means we are never alone. We are never alone. No matter what we might be going through in life, we are never alone. Whether it's fire, water, lion's den, battlefield, facing your giants, unemployment line, prison cell, hospital room, doesn't matter where you are, God is right there with you, right there beside you, walking the journey with you. I remember many years ago, and I've shared often my story about being electrocuted and all the things that I went through back in those days, and I remember, and I shared with you the last couple of Sundays I've mentioned to you, sensing the presence of the Lord as a child and reading the Bible and God just making Himself very real to me. I had a very similar experience to that when I was in the hospital back in 77 after I was electrocuted. I was in the hospital for 2 months. I was on the burn unit, the Medical College of Virginia in Richmond for a month, which is an intensive care unit special for burns. At the end of a month, and the burns had healed enough, significantly enough, to be moved from the burn unit, I was taken to a reconstructive surgery wing of the hospital where they could start piecing me back together as best they could and doing things like that. Now, for the month that I was in the hospital at the burn unit, it's intensive care. You've got people there that are with you all the time. Nurses, nurses station right through a window, there's all nurses there, and doctors are constantly in and out, and family is always able to visit and all of these things. And so for the first month, I've got regular people constantly with me and around me all the time. At the end of that month, They sent me upstairs to the reconstructive surgery ward, West 9 South. I'll never forget it. West 9 South, room 940, down the hall, last room on the left as you go, Medical College of Virginia. And I remember the first night they took me up there, and I'd been for a month with all of these people all around me, constantly taking care of me and always having somebody there in my situation. And then they rolled me way down to the end of the hall and stuck me in that little closet down at the end of the hall there. And I remember feeling just so alone down there and almost abandoned. And yet, I remember falling asleep. And as the family was still able to come and to be with me down there, and that brought great comfort. They don't know the great comfort that brought to have somebody down there with me. And I remember waking up one night and just sensing that somebody was in the room with me, and just felt the comfort and peace of knowing that somebody was there with me, until I opened my eyes and looked around and nobody was in the room. And I knew the Lord was in the room, because I knew God was with me. And I felt the presence of the Lord that night, and I knew that God really is an ever-present help in time of trouble. But look, brother and sister, whether we sense the presence of the Lord or not, our faith tells us that God is with us wherever we go. Wherever I am, God is with me. Because He's promised, and He cannot lie. And if I look for Him, I will find Him. For He is faithful. And God is faithful to you. And God will be there for you, no matter what you're going through. This is the God I know. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You today for Your faithfulness. I thank You, Lord, that we don't have to wonder if You're going to be there. We don't have to wonder if You're going to be faithful, if You're going to show up. We don't have to wonder if You can do anything about our situation. We know that You can. And we know that what You speak with Your mouth, You perform with Your hands. And we know there is nothing too difficult for You. So, Father, I pray over my church family this morning. I thank You for every one of them. Thank You for all that You brought to our church today, Lord, and I pray blessings upon them. I pray the blessing of Your presence above all else, that they would know the peace, the comfort, the joy of the Lord, and the sheer weight and glory of Your presence on their life. I pray faith to their heart, God. The ability to trust in You today. With the assurance of the knowledge that nothing is impossible for You. I pray, Father, that we would all continually seek You with all of our heart. Because Your word promises when we do, You'll show Yourself. You'll be found by us. And so we rest in that truth, Father, and we thank you for it. And can I ask you to just stand together with me and stay in an attitude of prayer as we bring our service to a close this morning? All of the things that we've talked about, the omnipotence of God, omniscience, His omnipresence, His goodness, His faithfulness, all of these things are qualities and characteristics of the Creator of the universe that He wants us to experience in a personal way because He loves us. Because He loves us. And so I say this to you today. It's Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Rather, in all of your ways, acknowledge God. He will direct your paths. James and Peter and other places in the Bible tell us this, and I encourage you to do this today. Hear this. Cast your cares on the Lord, for He cares for you. Now let me tell you what that means. It means all of those things you're afraid of, all of those things you worry about, all of those things that you wrestle with, let it go. You have to let it go. Thank you. Family, listen to me. There's just so many things, look, that God can't put His hand on till we get our hand off. Cast it on the Lord. Don't take it back. I'm preaching to myself this morning. Trust in God, because God loves you today. He really does. Thank you, Father. So, Father, I trust that you'll take this simple message today and encourage our hearts to trust and believe in you and to walk out and live out the faith that we declare. Thank you, Father, that as we trust in you, you're going to make a difference in our life. You're going to strengthen and encourage us. You're going to raise us up. You're going to give us victory. You're going to deliver us. You're going to heal us. You're going to restore us. You're going to save us. You're going to give us victory, and you're going to glorify yourself in the process in all that you do. And for that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's sing together as we are dismissed this morning. And if we can pray with you about things personally, stick around after the service and we'll minister to those personal needs in your life. Let's sing together. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day till your likeness may be seen in me. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord. Enjoy the beautiful weather out there. Fall is here.